This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from St. John's Books, North Portland's full-service independent bookstore, offering new and used books on progressive politics, literature, poetry, titles for kids, and more. St. John's Books is located at 8622 North Lombard in St. John's. Information at 503-283-0032.
And welcome to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. On today's show, we feature Imago Theater's next production of Carol Churchill's Not Enough Oxygen. The show features song, dance, theater, and two acts, and Jerry Malwad, who will be here today. And in the latter part of the show, we'll hear from three women about their experiences with breast cancer. This is a special piece for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KABU studio is co-artistic director and co-founder of Imago Theater, Jerry Malwad. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Now, I want to hear you say the title of your show.
No, you said it best.
Now, I want to hear you.
Not enough oxygen. I think I had one too many knots.
Why are there so many knots in this title? Did you ever ask Carol Churchill about
that? I think if you hear the play, the evening is a series of six pieces, and one of the pieces is a play called Not Enough Oxygen. But if you listen to the language of it, and I can read you some of it, you can understand why the title is that.
Well, I mean, Carol Churchill is all about language, too. I mean, she is very prolific, and word usage mm-hmm. is very poetic with her. That play started as a radio play, which I thought was interesting, over 30
yeah.
years ago by
right.
Carol Churchill. And she is one of the great living, I hope she's still living, playwrights
yes,
of our
is.
Time, really. She's written plays such as Top Girls and Mad Forest and what are a couple other ones that she's written? I mean, there's
The Skryker.
Vinegar Tom, I recall, too.
Oh, well, the newest play that we actually had the U.S. premiere of that just played at the New York Theater Workshop, A Number, was about cloning.
Ah.
That opened in 2003 here
well,
in 2002
and that one,
in London.
This is interesting, too, because it's set in 2010, and it's sort of carrying on her political, you know, I guess, themes, but having a child without a license. I mean, that's illegal.
Yes, having children is illegal. Abortion is mandatory. And there is hardly any oxygen left. Only the rich travel. People live in cubicles, and there's rations of food and water. It's pretty rather topical, unfortunately. And one interesting thing about it is that terrorism at this point in the so-called future has become rampant, so that everyone is considering to be a terrorist against society itself, because society itself has abandoned the individual so badly. A son comes home to visit his father, and he's accused of perhaps coming to kill him as a terrorist.
Well, having been written in 1971, that's pretty darn prophetic, isn't it?
It's very creepy to be reading this piece that is somehow hitting home pretty strongly right now.
And you have a piece from Not Enough Oxygen?
Yeah, I'll read the opening monologue
okay.
that Vivian, who is visiting Mick, who is in one of these cubicles. She has her own space, and she's talking about I'll just read it. Shall I tell you what I bought today? Not enough oxygen in this block. Why always headache? Spoke caretaker. Caretaker says, speak manager. Manager says, local authority. Local authority won't give us the money, said I. Said, what's the no point giving us faster? I'll be dead corpses in the faster lift if there's not enough oxygen.
Mm.
So her language is quite repetitious, and It does a couple of things. One, it kind of creates a form of repetition so that the language implies a number of things, that it's somewhat out of place, not contemporary. It also, in an odd way, the repetition kind of points out the repetition of how that people live in these blocks, in these towers, where there's what you imagine when you hear the play is that the towers are blocks and blocks of these apartments where people live in these small little rooms. So if you kind of have a visual look at it, and you can see it in the set, actually, it's kind of like Blade Runner. You have this massive repetition of form, and that's repeated in the language itself. So it's kind of a highbrow sci-fi piece.
Wow. If you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm D. May Roberts. My guest is director Jerry Malwad of Imago Theater, and we're talking about Not Enough Oxygen. And, Jerry, you designed, as well as directing, you designed the set, too, right?
Yeah.
So you're just, so, I mean, as both director and designer, you have, like, full control over this whole world, don't you?
Oh, yes.
You must be happy. Now, you're working also with a lot of movement through Greg Bielmeyer and Mary Oslin, as choreographers. Tell us about that.
Well, the play, the evening is, like I said, five pieces. There are two songs by the group Drench that have been arranged quite wonderfully by John Berenson from Liminal Theater. And there are three dances that are dances unto themselves, as well as each piece has a lot of movement within it. There's another play in the evening called Heart's Desire, and this one also plays with form, but it's more humorous and more comical. And it's a husband and wife are waiting for their daughter to come home from Australia. They live in London. And the play starts with the lines... the husband comes in with a brown sweater, and he says, she's taking her time. The wife says, not really. And then she writes in here, reset, go back to the beginning of the play. And the husband comes in with a black jacket and says, she's taking her time. The wife says, not really. And Carol Churchill says, writes, reset, go back to the beginning of the play. And this happens over and over. They get a little further on in the scene, and then the play goes back to the beginning, or sometimes it goes off into different points. And what's interesting about that is that she's created a world where it's possible to look at this family as kind of a cubist painting. First you see it from this angle, then you see it from this angle, then you see it, and then there's all these possibilities that are all happening simultaneously. Because the evening is both about repetition and form, I thought it would be really great to work with Mary and Greg on it, because the world of dance is about repetition and form and style and structure, and I wanted to somehow bounce it off other people to see what's possible, and I didn't want to do it alone, because when she writes the word reset, as a theater director, I would probably just have the actors move backwards, get to the beginning of the play, and go forward again. But with a choreographer, as part of the collaborative effort, there's a lot more choices and density.
And just a different perspective, too.
Yeah, that really helps.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I mean, and I could see just, or hear, just from your reading some of Carol Churchill's texts, that this would be a perfect Imago piece, because you like to play with that reality. So, I mean, in every single piece, you do play with reality.
Yeah, we play with altering perspective.
Now, Greg's in the piece, so he's actually performing.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is in the piece?
Carol Triffel, the other artistic director of Imago's, in the piece. Catherine Gray, who's a dancer with an actress with Imago for many years and has done work with Mary Oslin. I'm in the piece, and there's quite a bit of big cast of 12.
So how do you perform in the piece and direct?
I don't know.
I mean, that must make you insane. How do you do that? I mean, what is the
thought
process?
It started for many years, Carol and I being in Frogs and trying to direct it and touring it. And I don't really think it's a great idea. And I do it primarily because I think I'm torturing myself. But
I think for film, it's a lot easier. And I know you have a very cinematic eye,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of your references are to the cinema. But I think it'd be very difficult to step outside of yourself and give yourself notes.
It's impossible. So,
do you have somebody come in and help you with that?
Well, in Heart's Desire, Mary Osland is choreographing the piece, so she's getting giving it an outside eye. And Not Enough Oxygen, I'm in the piece, but Carol Truffle isn't, so she can give an outside eye to that. So
that helps.
It's possible,
yeah.
but there's no way for me to look at it and look at its entire vision.
But you've been doing this for quite a long time, taking on all those roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All those roles. Now, in the whole process, when did you start working on these two plays, and when did you bring everybody into the process?
Well, we had a 5-week rehearsal period that started in the summer, and then I took off to work on directing a play in Boston, and they kept going without me. Then it all picked up again early this month.
So when you came back, you go, oh no, what did you do?
No, actually, they focused on the choreography.
Good. Good. So you were pleased when you came back, obviously.
Yeah. It's been a very enriching experience.
Well, it certainly sounds like a different kind of play. Now, it is done in two acts, so
It's kind of a seamless evening. It starts with three pieces in the beginning and ends with three pieces, and sometimes you can certainly tell when the plays last about a half hour each, but sandwiched between the plays is song and dance that are very offbeat. I mean,
you mentioned
it is a
Drench,
modern theater.
Drench is
the... Yeah, Drench is some of the composing team from the Wooster Group, and we've taken two of their songs and rearranged them, and John Berenson has.
What kind of music is it?
I hate my life, I want to die.
I mean, genre.
What's that?
Genre-wise, is it sort of rock, pop? What is it?
Highly alternative.
Highly alternative. not enough oxygen, an evening of song, dance, and highly alternative music and theater is directed by Jerry Mowat and choreographed by Mary Oslin and Greg Bielmeyer. And it opens at Imago Theater on October 27th, runs through November 13th at Imago at 17 Southeast 8th Avenue across the street from KBOO. The show runs Thursdays at 7:30. All seats are $10 on Thursdays. Is that just Thursdays?
Yeah, and Sundays, too.
And Sundays, too, which is at 7 o'clock as well. Fridays and Saturdays, it's 8 o'clock, and all seats are $16 for Friday and Saturday. Very affordable theater. For tickets, call Imago's box office at 503-231-9581. That's 231-9581. Or Tickets West at 503-224-8499. That's 224-8499. And we have a pair of tickets to offer to the third caller at KBOO at 503-231-8032. The third caller, pick up a pair of tickets to Imago's Not Enough Oxygen. We've got a couple minutes here to talk about also the rest of your season. What else are you doing?
We're working on a giant dinosaur that's being wrestled by five cavemen for Big Little Things.
For the season. What are you doing now?
Big Little,
on your off hours.
No, that's for the season. Big Little Things is the touring show that's a follow-up to Frogs, and we're working on pieces.
So you're adding a new piece with a dinosaur,
about
huh?
Three or four new pieces.
Wow. That keeps growing. I mean, not just physically bigger, but you just keep you. Keep
well,
adding
we have
season.
To tinkle with it because... tinker with it.
Yeah, well, depending on your mood.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. We tour with Frogs, and Frogs get rave reviews. Big Little Things is always in competition with Frogs, so, you know, we're always trying to find the pieces that are going to be as refined as Frogs, so we're continuing to toy with that. So there's... a big giant woman's purse that is being thrown and battled across the stage, and eventually a woman in high heels comes out.
Wow. Big giant woman in high heels?
She's pretty tall.
All right. Well, I do like the way you keep working on the material. You know, that's kind of rare. I mean, usually with theater companies, mm-hmm. you know, once the show's done, it's done.
Yeah.
Know? And you keep...
Well, you know, the things that pay for the bills at Imago are those two touring shows, Frogs and Big Little Things.
And then what's after that? What's in the spring?
Carol has an original show called Hit Me in the Stomach.
Oh, God. Okay. Poor Carol. All right. Well, we'll have to have you on for both of those shows again, because the time just goes by so quickly when you're here. Don't miss Not Enough Oxygen by Imago Theater. The show opens October 27th, runs through November 13th at Imago Theater, and you can call for ticket information at the Imago box office at 503-231-9581, 231-9581, or Tickets West at 503-224-8499, 224-8499. How many ways can I say those numbers?
Not enough.
Hey, Jerry Malwad. Hey, you're always fun to have on.
Well, likewise, you're always fun. Next time, come on a little longer, would you, Dean?
Oh, he wants like a whole hour and a half, and I just have this little half hour. But anyway, it does go fast, and it's always enjoyable talking with you. So break legs for
your show.
Next up, we have a special look at three women who are battling breast cancer, and this is a special piece for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so do stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Last year, we and KBOO Radio produced a one-hour special called the Breast Cancer Monologues. The following is an excerpt about three women, a Chicana, an African-American, and Romanian immigrant woman, dealing with breast cancer, and they're describing their experiences.
My name is Caroline Acuña Guilartes. I have Mexican heritage, but I also acknowledge the indigenous blood, the Indian blood, the Aztec blood within being Chicana. I was diagnosed in 94. I had an aggressive cancer called medullary cancer, and they said that it was very fast-growing and aggressive, and they wanted me to do chemo and radiation because I was so young. But I opted for ancient medicine instead of Western medicine. So I've been doing and surviving on ancient medicine for 10 years.
My name is Monica Benson Barros. I'm a 42-year-old African-American woman. I have one child who's 18 years old. July 2003, I found out I had breast cancer. At the time, I was 8 weeks pregnant and felt a mass under my breasts. And my breasts are large, so it's really hard to tell when I have my personal checks. But this mass was really large, and it didn't move. Like, a lot of the breast tissue is real grainy. This was different.
My name is Maria Pascu. I am 48 years old, and I came from Romania to United States. I was diagnosed with breast cancer on April 2000, and now I am in remission.
I decided to go the alternative route and use ancient medicine. So I was trying to get away from the fear that comes along with the disease. I feel that Western medicine uses a lot of fear tactics to scare you into doing what they want you to do.
But first, the doctors told me to come back in 6 months because they thought it was just from underwire bras, that maybe it was just tissue. I had them do a biopsy, and it was cancerous. So meanwhile, I've been going through the treatment. I'm not pregnant anymore. I miscarried. And I had a lumpectomy and also 14 lymph nodes under my arm removed. So now I'm having chemo treatments once every 2 weeks.
Something was wrong. I was very tired and sleepy, and on my left breast was some pain. And I go to see the doctor. I do all the tests, including mammogram, and they came positive. So they proposed to me a few choices, to do just the mastectomy of tumor or the one which I choose them to do both side mastectomy and do chemotherapy for almost 1 year each week.
There's this bias that I think goes on in Western medicine, particularly around the radiology, and they think that people with darker skin can take more radiation. And I sat with a woman who had had breast cancer, and she heard the radiologist say, you can double the dose because of the melanin in her skin. There has consistently been racism as part of science and as part of, particularly as a part of Western medicine, looking at the bias in regards to women too, and then lesbian on top of that. It's like I wanted to really take back the power. I didn't want to have to answer to a predominantly white male establishment of, what do I need next? Do I need chemo radiation? Do I need this? And do I need that? You know, you tell me what I need, doctor. You tell me what I need. And that's not where I was going to find the power for myself. I was going to find it by listening to my ancestors and to the spirits that exist around us, find it in ancient medicine, in the wisdom of Ayurvedic medicine, in the wisdom of acupuncture medicine, the wisdom of herbal medicine. That felt like it was going to empower me to really step in and say, you know what, I'm going to take control of my body.
The financial part is hard because most women try to continue to work during chemo, and these treatments make you ill. But fortunately, I was able to get on disability, which is only $800 a month. But that was my biggest fear, is I went from making, you know, $60,000 a year to a lower income. African Americans, we don't have finances sometimes to get better health care. I don't think we go to doctors as much as wealthier races do.
Was kind of cold reaction from my husband, which actually he was so scared and afraid because I'm going to die. And in order for him to avoid connection with me, he was most of the time going to work away from home. And when finally he figured out I'm going to survive, he was happy, but he made me to suffer a little bit.
I think that there are environmental reasons. I grew up around strawberry fields in Southern California, and they did a lot of pesticide spraying. So I feel like that has a huge cause. I think we live in a very polluted environment, polluted by people who are not accountable to the pollution. I also, rage is also a part of it. Rage in the heart and grief, you know. I know I carry grief in my life, and I think part of that, that grieving process and how it sits here in the heart, you know, it really affects our entire body.
Black women tend to be, they want to be real strong, but this is a time where you have to be weak and let somebody help you. And I've had like family and friends, it's like they back away to protect themselves. I've had people tell me, oh, you need to juice all your vegetables, or you need to do this alternative treatment in Tijuana. And I think a lot of it is people are afraid of their own mortality, and they're afraid that you may die, so they kind of back up. I had a woman tell my daughter that her mother and sister died from cancer, and that radiation treatment doesn't do any good because I have to have radiation after my chemo treatment. So I think people should just be careful what they say, because every individual is different, and you never know what you're going to go through or how you'll react.
You need to correct your thinking, your mind, and teach yourself to fight and to not allow the cancer to do something.
The women have been socialized to kind of slough off the women's intuition. Oh, it's just women's intuition. That women's intuition is like the basis of our power. And so to really listen to that and to really take time to listen to that, ask people to take your kids for a couple days and take 2 days to yourself, the least, away by yourself, alone, with nothing around you but yourself, so you can hear your intuition, because it's always there.
And you go through different moods. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad. And it's easy to put up a front that, oh, I'm happy, you know, because you'll have your wig on or your makeup, when really you feel terrible. Just the support should just be for the person that has cancer. Let them feel their feelings without you taking on the feelings for them. You know, if they want to be sad, let them be sad. And the survivors that I've met, they said all of this will pass. But when you're going to doctors every day and you're getting shots and you don't feel well, it's hard to think this will go on forever. A support system, you have to have one.
I remember when I started the first chemotherapy, I believe after 1 week, I start losing the hair. And I say, no, I'm not going to let the cancer to do that to me. I will cut my hair myself. So I cut my hair myself with my husband, crying, but I don't let the cancer to do that. And I buy myself a wig, and I put him a wig on my hair, and I say, not the cancer take away my hair, just myself. So don't let the cancer do to you what he want. Do yourself to the cancer. Treat him like an illness and take him away from you.
That piece was produced for the Breast Cancer Radio Arts Project here at KABU. For more information about the one-hour breast cancer monologues or for information about breast cancer issues and topics, go to breastcancerproject.org. Before we go today, a couple of events coming up. Studio 20 Entertainment presents Voices, an original play about life in solitary confinement at San Quentin Prison during the height of the civil rights movement. Inspired by the life and words of Soledad brother George Jackson, Voices is written and directed by Quick Jones. The show runs November 3rd through the 13th. It's on Thursday through Saturday at 8 o'clock and Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, the IFCC, at 5340 North Interstate Avenue. And you can take the MAX Yellow Line to get directly to the IFCC. Admission is $10 for general seating and $7 for students and seniors. For reservations, you can call 503-473-6649. That's 473-6649. The Calicandra Society for the Performing Arts in India presents a special musical tribute by Kailash Kher and Troop. This is a special evening of South Asian Sufi music and dance, and it's happening November 5th at 7:30 at Lewis and Clark College's Agnes Flanagan Chapel. Tickets are $15 for members and $20 for general seating. Children 3 to 12 are half price. For ticket reservations, you can call the Calicandra Society for the Performing Arts in India at 1-800-992-8499. That's 1-800-992-8499. Or you can go to their website for more information at calicandra.org. That's K-A-L-E-K-E-N-D-R-A.org. And we have a pair of tickets to offer to the first caller for this special evening on November 5th at 7:30 at Lewis and Clark College. If you call now at 503-231-8032. That's it for Stage and Studio this week. Next week, a special Halloween presentation of Mary Shelley's classic Frankenstein by Willamette Radio Workshop with Sam Mowry. Till then, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
This is KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Pete's Coffee and Tea, now offering the Pete's Card, a payment card that works like cash, located at 1441 Northeast Broadway in Portland. It's 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!